All right, look with me, if you would, in the letter of Paul, the apostle to Titus. Now, Titus, we find in, of course, Galatians chapter 2, verse 3, that Titus was a Greek. He was a Greek. His lineage of his birth and of who he was a Greek. If you look on your biblical map, you'll find out that this particular island that he was sent to, that Paul charged him to go down there to, the island of Crete, it's south of course, in the Mediterranean Sea, of the land of Greece itself. So, when you study over that, you can find its location. This man was a Greek, and he's no doubt were Greek-speaking people. I don't know as to where he had the ability or the gift of tongues and his other nationalities, other languages, but I do know he was a Greek, and he was sent there, and I believe these people were Greek descent, and they spoke the Greek language. I don't know that, but I just believe that they were so close to Greece. You remember this time, the Greece influence, the Macedonian Empire had been over all the civilized world. The alphabet and all kinds of things, the Greek customs had spread through everywhere, all those different places. So anyhow, Paul charged him and sent him this island of Crete. So we read about that, talk about that. Now, so Paul had won him to the Lord. He was another young convert that Paul had been privileged to preach to. This young man was a faithful man, an obedient young man. And Paul sent him to this island. Now, this entire island, he wanted him. He was the chief bishop. I began to think about that when God brought that to my mind. He was the chief overseer, that is, on this entire island. He had the responsibility, Paul charged him, to bring it to the whole island there, all over the island, to tell all the elders, get them together, and commission him and command them how things ought to be run, how things ought to be taken care of concerning the house of God and the church of God. That's why I tell you that God did not call women the pastor nor the priest. They're not mentioned, and they're not in here as far as that particular responsibility and duty is concerned. That they're not called to pastor or to preach. They're called, of course, to do different types of things as God would have them do in the body of Christ. They're just as important as anybody else. I don't mean that. But everybody has a purpose and a place and a responsibility and an obligation and a duty as a member of the body of Christ. Remember, all not the head. It's not the one head, that's Christ Jesus. But, of course, not all is the eye, not all is the ear, not all is the speaking, not all is the tongue, not all is the fingers, not all is the feet. And it's just different members of the body, making up the body of Christ. And not all is in the same, are the same members. God has called members in particular, different members making up it. Paul talks about that, making up the body of Christ. But whatever God has called, whatever place, responsibility, and duty God has called you to fulfill and perform, you find your place. And I promise you, if you've been faithful, it's just as faithful as the pastor or the bishop or the deacon or such as they may be, evangelist, whatever they may be, if you've been as faithful, what God's committed to your trust, you'll have just as big a reward. Because what God requires out of everybody, it requires faithfulness. And if we're faithful, God's faithful and rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it's just as important. Everybody's membership in the body of Christ is important. So we ought to find our place of service, get in there, and give it a wholehearted effort. And if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. If you sow in an abundant way, you'll reap in an abundant way. And let's look at this, if you would, please. Titus, his own son, he talks about that. But he said, Paul, the servant of God, apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and to the acknowledgement of the truth which is after godliness. He said, I'm a servant of God, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and in the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. And he had acknowledged that. He was one who had acknowledged the truth of God, and he was a preacher of the gospel, and a teacher to the Gentiles. That was his responsibility. To be inspired and led by the Holy Spirit of God and institute and start and establish churches everywhere. Now, his work, his ministry went on through these young converts. They were the fruit of his labor, and the more they labored, the more souls they won, the more was counted unto him, unto his labors, and the more that rewards that he would have. And I said his labors, Paul, the Apostle Paul, his labors are going on even today through the God-breathed, God-inspired, the 14 books, the 27 books, the New Testament that God inspired him to write down. They are, of course, the living, live epistles inspired by God Almighty. And the Apostle Paul, of course, was inspired and wrote these down. And they're profitable for us today. Proper correction, reproof, instruction for doctrine of the children of God may be thoroughly furnished. We have this Bible, the blessed book, the Word of God. We don't need to be indoctrinated with the so-called professors of theologian, the theology. All these called these places seminaries. I call them cemeteries. In time past, they used to have some, I'm sure, who were good godly men who taught the Word of God divinely inspired, but that's history. Just like most of the so-called churches today, they're not a real church. They just got a steeple. They got something hanging over the roof, and they take on the formalities and proclaim themselves to be Christian or Christ-like when they don't know anything about Him in reality, only tongue in cheek. Isaiah said, these people who worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But we're in that generation in that time when the Lord Jesus is on the outside knocking at the door, trying to get in the church of the Laodiceans, the last of the seven churches. May mention in Revelation, we're at that particular period of time. I believe the Lord Jesus is coming real soon. God have mercy on us, and God help us and teach us to number our days and apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, Paul was called as the preacher of the gospel, teacher of the Gentiles, and to acknowledge the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life with God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Said before the world began, God had promised the blessed hope of eternal salvation, of redemption through the shed blood. There is a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and God was the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God had already prepared before the foundation of the world. Said that God then purpose man to fall? Absolutely not. God doesn't have anything to do with sin. That's the work of the flesh of the devil. The devil himself deceived them, beguiled them, but God knows what was going to take place. And according to foreknowledge, he predetermined beforehand, made known that he what was anything God didn't know, he wouldn't be God. Nothing takes him by surprise. That's sort of hard to understand, but not if you really think about it. He foresaw and knew what was going to take place. He knows what is in man, what man's all about. Although he created him perfect, and he gave him the ability and the opportunity to make choices. And so man in the very beginning made a bad choice. He chose, that is, mankind. The wife, she chose to disobey and transgress God's law. Adam loved her so much, he followed her. He wasn't in the transgression, she was, but nevertheless he loved her. He transgressed, and of course her eyes were open and was separated, alienated, because of sin, and cast out of the garden of paradise, or the garden of Eden. And out there, of course, they had, but then the curse of God was upon them. You can read about the curse, and I'm sure that you have, that God pronounced upon the man, upon the woman, upon Satan himself. So sin, of course, brought death upon all mankind, and Adam, we're all going to die. There's no discharge in the war of death, but in Christ Jesus, all can and will be made alive. God made provision in the hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He had promised that. Of course, he promised that when he went into a covenant with God, his Son, that is the Lord Jesus, who was God reincarnate in human flesh, and he was before the world ever was, and the world was created for him and by him, and anything made it was made, it wasn't made for the good pleasure of his will. Alright. It hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. He said, in due time, in the right time, God has manifested his word through preaching. And that's how this pleased God through the food of preaching, saved them that believe, which is committed unto me, said, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Call an apostle. Calls a pastor, of course, is a pastor, is a preacher, and no doubt in his evangelist, he had all the callings upon him, and he was very faithful in everything that God committed to trust, everything else he counted as dung, as waste, as nothing. He might please him, have chosen him, or call him to be a soldier. All of us are soldiers, have been saved by the grace of God. You may be a footman, you may be a horseman, you may be some type of service that you're to render. I don't know what it may be there between you and God, but I can tell you, as a child of God, you've been called to service, and you're a soldier. You must become a faithful soldier, a follower of the cross, and a follower of the Lamb. It's our responsibility and our duty, our obligation, to walk where the vocation wherewith we've been called. We have a holy calling. God called us to a life of holiness. Be holy, for I am holy, thus saith the Lord. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. I'm glad I've seen him through the eyes of holiness, that is, to the beauty of holiness, and through the inspired, infallible, and unadulterated, pure, and precious Word of God. That's how he was revealed unto me through his Word. I heard it, I believed it, I received it, it saved me, and then it's continuously, in a continuous state, and I love it, making his Word known and making the Word alive to me. As I read it, it jumps right out to me, it inspires me, and gives me understanding. Things beyond my comprehension, I don't have that type of mind. I'm by no means a genius. I'm more on the other end of the scale, the spectrum. I'm ignorant and very well unlearned. But I got the great teacher. I got the great tutor. I got the prince of all teachers. I've got the Lord Jesus living in me, and the Holy Spirit guiding me and teaching me and bringing things to my remembrance. All right, he said to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. Now this word common meant the faith that they had a like faith. Me and you got the same like faith, the same wonderful faith. To Titus, my own son, after the common faith. It's common. It's just between me and you, this faith that we have, it's a common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete. And now, here's the reason I left you in Crete. This is an island, I told you. Southern portion down in the Mediterranean Sea. And it's down below the country of Greece. And you can look on your biblical maps, find out where it's located. I said he was called to be the head bishop, to be over all this island, responsibility to get all the elders together, all those that were to be appointed for certain responsibility duty, and all the church, as far as that was concerned, and charge them and command them that they were to follow out the orders that God had inspired him to give unto them. So he said, let's call the left you there, the Crete, thou shouldest set in order the things which are wanted, that is, are needed, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. Now the elders were the ones that had to take responsibility over the worship of the service of God, how the church was to conduct itself. We find it also in 1 Timothy. You read over there where Paul charged young Timothy and also gave him the due order. He said, this is the way the church is to be run. That's what he's talking about. He said that till I come that you might know how the church, in other words, is to be run, what God requires of the church. And there's no exception. If there was an exception in there, it would have been in here. It's not in here. God does not call women to pastor, not a priest. He doesn't call them the deacon. You want somebody to say, well, what about so-and-so? She was, I said, that you didn't see he called her the priest. That you just made mention her that she was a servant of the Lord. Everybody's called to serve. And different sisters and ladies, they've done remarkable work. They took in the saints. They fed them. They clothed them. They've done a lot of good things. And they're there to teach. They can even teach with enough certain authority over man. And they've got certain responsibilities. They're prophetesses. Of course, we know we have an illustration of those. We have one in the New Testament book of Acts when he himself had four virgin daughters. And Paul and him came down through there. They spent a little time with them. They were prophetesses. They were four young virgin daughters. Of course, he was there. You can read about him, Philip, with his daughters there. So God does call them to do those type of things, to sing, to pray, to play, whatever it may be, instruments and things that God placed upon them to do, responsibilities. There's a great need out there. And of course, to share the gospel in a way of testimony, preach the word of God in the way of testimony, but not in a pastoral state. That's not so. God didn't ordain it. We find that what God had to say, and you can folk can think all they want. I had one person say to me, so, well, man fails for men, but God called the women. Well, I'll agree, men fail miserably and still fall into failing today and acting like a fool and an idiot, but God's not changed his word so far as calling them. Of course, he didn't create the man for the woman, but the woman for the man. Now, the man's not to be the chief chicken around the roost. He's not to beat on his wife, misuse his wife, abuse his wife, belittle his wife. If he's to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, there's a big responsibility. If you love her like Christ loved the church, I promise you, you'll do everything you possibly can, even your thought, actions, and deeds, to be want her happy and love her and care for her and try to take care of her. That's your responsibility as a husband. The husband, of course, is to be the head of the household, but he's to be a good head. Sometimes women have to take over the household because they've got a sorry, good-for-nothing husband. He's a deadbeat. He's a bum. He won't face responsibilities. And they have to get out there and plug in there and try to do what needs to be done so they can meet the financial needs of the house and even make decisions that the husband ought to be making. Sometimes you have to do certain things. That's no excuse for preaching. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about the ladies have to take that place of service, and she's not to overtake her husband's place. She just fill it in and do what needs to be done. So we got a lot of things that goes on, but if it were done like it ought to be, we'd have a lot better society than what's to live in today. The home, the family, the atheists and the demons and all these ungodly, abominable people sitting in the seat of authority, they've done everything they could to tear down. They've done a good job to rob and tear down and destroy the house and the family. So that's the reason our society's in such a bad shape today and going to get worse when Jesus comes. There's no discipline in the family. There's no love in the family. There's no real union in the family. Too much separation, too much carrying on in the flesh, too much seeking of one's personal desires and ambition, and living like hell in front of their children, and they didn't expect nothing else but hell to come out of their children when they live like that, because the monkey see, monkey do. And we see that they think that's the way that they all live, and already being human and tempted to have all these things going on in their life, it just encouraged them, well, what who cares? I might as well live like they live in. Eat, drink, and be merry. Well, tomorrow, they say, well, bye. Let's live it up while we can and live like we want to live. But that's not the way to live, because the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And he said, if any man be blameless, then, oh, that's a big statement. If any man be blameless, God have mercy. We need to be blameless, harmless, and of course undefiled and separate from sinners like he was. Blameless. We ought not be blameful for misuse, abuse, or doing anything contrary to sound doctrine. We ought not be found guilty of acting like a fool. That is, a pastor, and this is not only the pastor, but also, I'll say, the whole church. But especially so, the example is to be the leader of the church, the under-shepherd. He's the chief shepherd, and when he appears, we'll ever receive a crown of glory, fade not away. But until that time comes, the pastor or the bishop, the under-shepherd, the overseer is to be found, the scripture said, blameless. If any man be blameless, he said, the husband of one wife. And he's got to have two or three wives, but one wife. He's to set an example, having faithful children. They're not accused of right or unruly. They are children, they're going to be children, but if you put the rod to them and put it on their fannies when they need that, I'll guarantee you it's a very good schoolmaster, a very good teacher. I'll guarantee you, if you despair that rod, the old saying is, you'll spoil the child, chasing them while there's hope, let not your soul prepare for the crying. If you correct them with the rod of correction, they're not going to die. Child left himself to bring his mother to shame. So God have mercy on us and help us to teach us the number of our days, for our hearts unto wisdom, and that would be to correct your children. Especially so as an example for the flock. The elders there, he charged them, because if the elders are not doing it, you didn't expect the congregation to be doing it. They'll be doing what they see monkey do. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of right or unruly. He's to have his children in subjection as much as humanly possible. The bishop must be blameless. He's got to be blameless as the steward of God, as one who's God put over the house of God there to be the under shepherd and the overseer. He's to be there faithful and do everything he does. Whatsoever he does, he'll do it wholeheartedly to the Lord. Not as men pleasers, but as pleasing unto God. Not self-will. Now you can't be heat up with your own self. You've got to be Christ-centered. You got to think about the welfare of others and not your own self. That's got to be a great personal attribute to a child of God as a bishop, as a pastor. He can't be thinking about himself. He's got to be thinking about the welfare of others. Not soon angry. You got to learn to control your temper. You got to learn to bite your tongue, so to speak. You got to learn to be slow to rest, slow to anger, and swift to hear. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We must practice what we preach and set the example that others might pattern themselves, have an example to pattern themselves after. If you don't pattern yourself as God would have you to do, then you're going to be a disturbance, hinder, and a burden, and a grief, and of course, causing those that are less strong and in the faith to fall on their face and not be able to grow. Must set the example. It's said, very important. The bishop, he's not to be, of course, not to be self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine. And it said, not given to wine. I take this to be not to mix it with the wine the way they mix in the world. He's not to mix with the world. That is, far being partaker of the things of the world. He's in it, but not of it. Sometimes you have to. Paul talked about, of course, not having anything to do with the idolaters and all these different kinds of things. He said, you've got to have contact with them, and you don't mistreat anybody or hurt anybody. And I don't care what their sins are. God didn't call you to run over them. He may call you to speak to them sometime, and sometimes you're called to rebuke them, but you better do it out of the spirit of love. Sometimes you have to do that. When they face you, they present, they come up with these kind of things, you just have to tell them in humility, sincerity, how things really are. But you don't want to hurt anybody. They didn't call you to hurt anybody. The wrath of man worketh not the righteous of God. You can be wrath like the godless, so it better be sure that it's not your own anger. That we need to be gentle, easy being treated, full of good fruit. That's what the scripture said. Not self-will, not soon anger, not given to wine, no striker. We don't be out there. I take this to be protesting or grumbling and complaining about all things that come in contact. We're not to be that. We're to be the gentle type of person that people might be able to see and sense and feel the Lord Jesus in us as believers. Not given to filthy lucre. Not letting that money be your God. Not given over the desires of filthy lucre. God said he'd meet your need. I know he's met mine and did some. I've not sought the dollar, not sought to make the money, not sought anything down here. I just followed him and he laid it out before me. And that's the way it's all been. Seek ye first the kingdom of God is righteous and all the other things are added. You get the cart before the horse, you wind up that doesn't work, you're going in reverse. But if you'll did it, it's like it all be at the due order. I promise you can go forward. God will bless you and meet you deep. But a lover of hospitality. Now he ought to be a lover apostolic. He ought to love to wait on and to serve and to greet and to meet and to love people and to make them feel at home and make them feel comfortable when they're around him. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. We love all good men. We love everybody. We don't love their evil ways. And you hate evil. You hate evil in people, but you want their soul to be saved. But a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. Sober, that is, clear-minded, vigilant, thinking on things above, not on things beneath. The only way you can be sober-minded is to be thinking and on the right way. Thinking on things, whatsoever things are just, what things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. What Paul said, think on these things. So we need to think on things above, not on things beneath. Just, he said, we must be just in all of our dealings, whatever we do, and not just for me, it's for you too as a believer. Whatsoever you do, y'all do wholeheartedly to the Lord, but especially so for a bishop. Just. We need to be just. We don't need to prefer somebody else above another person, or being a respected person. Treat everybody alike. Everybody just alike. Then you have a love for everybody as a Christian. If you're living right, you love everybody equally. If you're living right, and you love everybody equal. But then there's a flesh love that you have for your own, but you don't respect them above the others. When it comes to making choice, what choice do you make? You choose truth. You choose right. You clear it out and do what's right. You speak what's right. You iron it out by right. You don't favor your children. You don't favor this over truth. You do, you're a fool. You gotta be just in whatever so you do it wholeheartedly to the Lord. Holy. We need to perfect holiness in the fear of God. None of us are holy. We're unholy. We're wretched and vile. That is our flesh. And the holy part about us is the Lord. And we got the holiness living on the inside. He's the holy part, but we're to perfect holiness in the fear of God. That is, they need to be perfected in our lives. Temperate. We need to be temperate in whatsoever we do. We need to be able to get out there and be able to control things and not overflowing and running our mouths and uncontrollable tempers and all that kind of stuff. We need to learn to be temperate. We need to learn how to handle situations with calmness and peace and tranquility, and that we might be able to soothe a problem over, not instigate a problem and get it completely out of hand. We need to be temperate. Holding fast the faithful words as he has been taught. Holding fast the faith, being steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, Lord. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught. Being standing by it. Don't compromise with it. Don't substitute for it. There's no substitute anyway, but if you do that, you become a fool. That he may be able by sound doctrine. That's the word of God. Both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. You're not going to convince anybody. You're not going to help anybody. You're not going to benefit anybody if you don't stay in sound doctrine. That'd be the word of God. I was thinking this morning to myself just about some of these people that so-called themselves theologians and scholars, and they're educated idiots, and they know about Greece and about Rome and about other Greek, Philokalamulan, that's in the Greek is Kakamanluka. And who's Greek around here? I'm Greek, and I don't know a lick of Greek. What is that doing anybody any good? They're trying to be impressive. They're trying to lift themselves. They tell you a fair story, and then they got their joke they put in there, you know, along with everybody. You know, and he goes back. You don't hear a lick of preaching about you repent of prayer. You're going to go to hell if you don't get your sins forgiven. They don't talk about none of that. They're a bunch of vain, filthy, ungodly, volatile, stinking, rotten, so-called preachers. They're ministers of Satan. There they are. And you ain't going to help them except or be able to convince them and overwhelm them if you don't stand the good word of God. The true doctrines of the cardinal doctrines of the word of God, the sound doctrine, both exhort and convince the gainsayers. I'm staying in the book. I said, they may have a lot more knowledge about those kind of things, but I stay in the book. I'll tell them, I said to myself, wait a minute, is that in the book? What page is that on? And then I said to myself, I'm just debating myself, talking thought come to mind and saying to them, well, let's stay in the book. Let's see what the book has to say. You stay with me in the book, we'll see what the book has to say. I'm staying with the doctrine, the sound doctrine, the word of God. You think what you want. If it ain't here, we'll leave it alone. I'm staying with the book. The book will stand. The word of God is going to stand. The world is on fire. But they are many unruly and vain talkers. Boy, that's true today, isn't it? And deceivers. God have mercy. Back during that day, there were many. Now there's more than many. God have mercy. There's more and more and more and more and more of them today, I believe, than ever has been before. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Who was he talking about? He's talking about the Jews. The circumcision. The Jews, they thought that they were above everybody else and that they were something special and that their good works and their good deeds, that they were surely the saints of God, but they were vile and wretched. They were the people that Isaiah said, these people who worship me with their lips, but their hearts far from me. And they were abominable and ungodly in the sight of God. And they were out trying to stir and destroy sound doctrine and the preaching of the cross. They were opposed to it because it exposed them of the abominable assembly in shameful and ungodly way. He said, especially of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. He said, they got to stop their mouth. We got to stop their mouth. They subvert whole houses. They turn away whole houses at a time, teaching things which they ought not to teach. Why are they teaching it? For filthy lucre's sake. Why are these scums on the TV today? Why are they speaking what they're speaking? What is their message? Well, you don't have to be a genius to figure this out. It's M-O-N-E-Y. Money. Bula, if you please. That's all they talk about. The blessings of giving. If you give, God's going to restore so-and-so. And this, you want a blessing, give me money. What? A bunch of clowns. A bunch of ungodly, vomitous, stinking dogs. And they're out for filthy lucre. Out for the dollar. One of them said, even a prophet of their own said, he said, one of these filthy lucre people, these abominable, ungodly people, one of them of their own self said this about you, about the Christians, that is, not you, but about the Christians. They're always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. He said that this faith, this witness is true. He said, there are some of y'all just exactly like that, and y'all be ashamed of yourselves. He said that witness is true, is what this man had to say. Although they're full of devil, they made this statement, and this witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, well, that they may be sound in the faith. Who's he talking to? Being sound in the faith, he's talking about the believers there. Rebuke them about this kind of life. They ought not be living like that. They ought to be living godly, sober, and righteous in the present world today. Rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So that's why I rebuke. God used me to rebuke you a lot of time, that you may be sound in the faith. Now what you do is your own business, but I'm going to give it to you. God gives to me. So you be assured of it. If you ain't got your seatbelt on, put it on, get your crash helmet on, because you're headed for a crash. If you don't pay attention to the word of God, I can promise you, you'll be shipwrecked. Now, not giving heed to Jewish fables. Now, notice this. Fairy tales are fables, Jewish fables, and commandments of men that turn from the truth. They erred from the truth. They turned from the truth. They went about to establish their own rights, not submitted to the rights of God, which is by faith. They sought it by justification and the works of the law. They were fools. They turned the word of God into fable. And the commandments of men, doctrines of men, not doctrines of God, and all these kind of things they went after. They were just doctrines of men, and not of God. And they were fools. On the pure, all things are pure. When a person's pure and he's thinking pure, all things are pure to him. But on them that are defiled and unbelieving, it's nothing pure. Even their mind and the conscience is defiled. Everything to them is unclean and defiled, and nothing's clean to these people who has this type of a defiled conscience. Their minds being full of filth and violence and corruption and everything that works of the flesh. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and in every good work reprobate. They're reprobates concerning the faith. They won't ever be saved, given over to the destruction of their rotten flesh and of the soul and the spirit because of them being reprobated-minded people. Ever learning, the scripture said, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Men are reprobated mind, corrupt mind. Now, chapter 2. But speak now the thing which becomes sound doctrine. Again, I want you preaching the sound doctrine, the word of God. You preach what's right, what's good, what's just, what's holy. Preach the word of God, that the aged men may be sober. Now, the bishop was the pastor. He's the overseer, the chief bishop. That is, Titus was, and he was in charge of the rest of those in the different places, cities, and suburbs, and places they had in this island there, the island of Crete. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and faith. He said, I want these aged men as well to be sober. I want them to be grave. I want them to be temperate. I want them to be sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in faith. And when it said in charity, in faith, it meant sound. Sound in faith, sound in charity, sound in patience. I want to be solid. I want to be rock solid. I want to be firm on the firm foundation, solid. I want to have the mind affected on things above. I want to seek in things above. I want to be a great example. All those that come in contact with the aged men, very important, they set the example for the younger men and the others to follow right the path themselves after. The aged women likewise, they be in behavior, becometh holiness, not false accusers. And notice that it said it's not given to much wine. Not no wine, but to much wine. Now, I believe this means that they knew that they were going to have a little bit of fixing and mingling, not in so much sinful thing, but with the world. So the women would have that place. So he said, I don't want them given to over to much of the mixing of the way of the world. He didn't want to do anything with sinful, but not giving them much wine. Teachers of good things ought to be teaching good things. Always teaching good admonishing and teaching the younger women good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, that is, to think right, straight, clear on things above, and to think on things that need to be thought on, such as their duties, responsibilities, and their children, their husband, people they come in contact with, to love their husband, to love their children. Look at that. Now, to love them means to cherish them and want the best for them and provide for them all that you possibly can. Give it your very best. To love your husband, to love your children. To be discreet, chaste keepers at home. That is to be, whatever they're doing, they ought to be, have a real homely environment. I mean a place where the children, when they get out of school and they come home, it's a wonderful place for them to come to. It's a family where they can talk, where they can feel secure there, and they can feel wanted. A place of refuge, the home ought to be for all of us. As we come sometime away from our daily chores and tasks, the home is what it's established to be. Be discreet, chaste keepers at home, a clean house, a good house, a well-cooked meal, and teaching the children what to do, how they ought to do, and to set an example in front of them. Good. Obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Obedient to their own husband, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, it ought to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Here for the young men, he said, here's some words of wisdom for you to obtain and to obey and to fulfill and to carry out. Said, I want you to do this. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good work. Whatever you do, be sure you're doing good works in doctrine, and good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Don't be corrupt in doctrine. Say good, sound in doctrine, with gravity, some stability, with great sincerity. That's a great word right there that we need to really practice on, trying to be sincere. Everything we do, we'll get sincere, be sincere, let the other things work out like they should. It's a great virtue here, sincerity. May the Lord help us to be sincere. Whatsoever we do, we ought to be sincere in those things that we are doing. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. You ought to run around, shooting your mouth off things that you ought not be saying. Your conversation ought to be with salt, the seed with salt to subvert the hearers. You ought to be speaking things that are right, just and good, not things that are unbecoming, that would hinder or disturb somebody. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, and no evil thing to say of you. He's already going to try to say something, but he'll be guilty of it when he does it, the condemned conscience. But if you've done something that you shouldn't be doing, he's not going to feel any guilt about that. He's going to say, well, he's done so and so, he calls himself to be a Christian. Well, you ought not be doing things that would be unbecoming, not give place to the devil, not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to be pleased, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Said, you tell these servants, that they're, in other words, if they're slaves, they're bond slaves, or the servants to the master, and they're there, that time they had a lot of them, and some of them loved the master because they took well care of them. That's why they made their money. They took care of them. They took care of the family. All of them in chains. But it was a servant. They served those. They worked for the rich. At that time, like you do today. Like I said, if we didn't have rich people, we wouldn't have any jobs. So the rich people got to make money to produce jobs. So that's very necessary. We have some rich in our land. We also have, thank God, in our society, we have a middle class. We're the only country in the world that has a middle class group of people. Thank God for that. So I'm glad that we do. But anyhow, in here he said, the servant, I want you to be obedient to your own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. I think out of this, don't let them tell you a second time, do it right the first time. Don't be running around and trying to do things half-heartedly. Get up and do it right. Whatsoever you do, do it wholeheartedly to the Lord. Don't be slothful, lazy, or sluggard, whatever it is that you're doing. Do it the wholehearted to the Lord. Don't have to worry about doing it a second time, be called on the carpet saying, why didn't you do so-and-so? Well, why don't you do what was right? You remember that old Joseph was sold into prison down there, and guess what he done? He done what was right. But in law, he was a chief man around there, taking care of all the jail, put bumps in the jail. What's a servant? First came what to this man, bought him as a servant. There first, he was faithful. This man made him lord all over his house, everything. This little whore of a wife this man had, he must have been a good-looking young man. She wanted him in the bed with her. He wouldn't do it. So she set him up. She run everybody out of the house, and he run out of there. She grabbed hold of his cloak, left it behind. And of course, she said that when a guy, husband got home, look, he tried to rape me. The boy, they put him in prison. But he didn't whine and groan and complain. In prison, he was faithful. Pretty soon, he was running the whole place down there. Here come two men, a butler and a baker from the king's house who took care of the king. He put him down there in prison. And he interpreted those dreams he had and said, remember when he got out, the man forgot him. But time come, when the word, at this time his word came, the scripture said, it came forth, and he's been down there for a long time. I think it's 17, 13 years. He was down there as a servant, as a slave, but he was faithful. And at the end of that time, when the time his word came, the chains that was on him, they left scars on him. Time come, God sent him up over all of Egypt. He ruled it. He ruled it. Pharaoh didn't know what was going on. Neither did he care. He knew of this man, that he could trust this man, and he'd see in this man something different, an honest, sincere person, of whom God had put wisdom in, so he made him over all, Lord of all of his house. So, if you want to be exalted, or you want to be lifted up, that is in the Lord, not in yourself, but using God's service, that's what I meant by exalted, using God's service, you better humble yourself, you better get sincere, you better be obedient, you better seek the Lord's face and His will for your life. If you don't, you'll never obtain what God wants you to have. Now, he said, exhort servant to be obedient, no master, pleasing, well all things, not answering again, not forlorning, but showing in all God's good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. He said, we need to be, whatsoever we're doing, we need to be obedient, need to be not self-willed, but we need to be showing a good life, whatsoever we do. I looked it up in the Webster, and I done forgot what it was, so that's all right about that, and God didn't block him. I'm not trying to impress you, but I looked up the word forlorning. Sometimes there are definitions of certain words give you the definition of the word in its natural, but not in its spiritual. So sometimes you've got to overlook what they say, although it's good about the natural, but not the spiritual, because in the spiritual, it completely mean, so there's something different pertaining to holiness and not to the natural way of living, but the spiritual. So I want to share that with you. Not baloney, but showing in all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Now I said before that he's not talking about everybody in the world because it ain't appeared unto them as yet. He's talking about believers. Well, how do you know that? Well, look at verse 12, if you will. Look at verse 12 with me. Teaching who? Teaching us. The grace of God has appeared unto us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and word of lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking forward, that blessed hope and the glorious fear of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, say us of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no man despise thee. These all this is instruction, exhortation, teaching him how to do, what to do, how to live, how to conduct themselves. He said that's the way these things ought to be done, and I'm charging you to charge the others to tell them so that they'll be without excuse. Give them sound doctrine. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities, powers, to obey magistrate, be ready in every good work. Now, we ought to obey the laws of the land, as long as they're just laws, as long as they're good laws. If it's something contrary to sound doctrine, the word of God, we ought to obey God above man. But the laws, most of our laws are good. Don't misunderstand. You know, like that stop sign out there says stop. Well, you don't have to stop. Keep going. But I promise somebody's coming another way and ain't no stop sign. They can bury you about 2 days or 3 days from now. Go ahead and defy that law right there and you've got punishment thereof. You can run you over and say, so slow down. 45 mile an hour curve. Very sharp curve. Snake curve. And you run into 110. I promise you we'll come shovel you up and take your car, what's left of it, and put it somewhere in some impound and they'll have your funeral. If there are laws out there, the good laws, and you're not to defy those kind of laws. You'll obey the laws of the land, as long as they're not laws contrary to sound doctrine and the Word of God. So he's telling them, we need ourselves to obey, he said, the Word of God. But in mind, be subject to principalities of power, obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man. That don't mean you can't, when you're telling the truth about something, that's not evil. But when you're telling lies about somebody, you're speaking things that are not so, that's evil. Speak evil of no man, to be no brawler. Don't be out there carrying on like a fool and always arguing and getting on, carrying on like a fool with others. Not be brawling with them, carrying on with them, but be gentle. God help us to be gentle. Showing all meekness. Notice this, but be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. May God help us to be meek and lowly and do the best we can to be gentle in front of a lost and a dying world. But we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. He's saying here's what we used to be. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's in time past. We live like a fool in the flesh. But act that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done. He said it didn't appear because we were worthy of it, deserving of it. It wasn't because of the works of righteousness we've done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He's placed His divine presence in us. He's chastening. He's given, he's reconciled us, and he's renewed us, and we've been born, of course, of a new nature, divine nature, God in us, Christ in us, hope of glory. I had more I wanted to say, but I'll leave it. Well, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I would that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Not only do good works, but maintain good works. That these things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions, and genealogies, and contentions, and striving about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain. He said avoid these foolish questions, these devilish questions, and genealogies, where he come from, where they come from, where they come from, where they come from. We come from God, we're creation of God, but where God come from? God always has been, everlasting, everlasting, God is God. Beside him there's none other. He didn't need creation, he's a creator. He's immortal, invisible, eternally, only wise God, Father, Lord Jesus Christ. He's a spirit, almighty spirit. He created everything that there is. But they said, avoid foolish questions, and genealogy, and contention, striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. So they won't profit anything. It's vain talk, foolish talk. It only brings more strife and contention. Stay away from it. A man that is a heretic, at the first and second admonition, reject. Said, once you've already spoke to him a first and a second time, and he continues to be a heretic concerning the word of God, he said, leave him alone. Reject him. Don't have anything to do with him. Know that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. That he's already condemned in his own conscience, and he's subverted, and leave him alone. He's no doubt become a reprobate. When I shall send Artemius unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to win him. Bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on the journey diligently, that nothing be wanting of them. Let ours also learn to maintain good work for necessary uses, that they may not be unfruitful. All they that are with me salute thee, greet them that love us in the faith. Grace with you all. Amen. I just read the last few verses. We talked quite a bit. I believe we covered what needed to be said concerning this little book, this epistle, this letter that the Apostle Paul charged young Titus when he was at the island of Crete, south of the Greece, where this letter was, and he made him the chief bishop. His responsibility was to charge them all the elders there, the elders that were to carry on the work, the pastors, the bishops, the deacons, the elder women, the younger women. He covered all the servants, and it's all that was in here in this book. As I said, this is a guideline. This is what God expects and requires. Nowhere in here do you find that God ever called, nor does he call women to pastor, to preach. It's not biblical. It's not scriptural. I know a lot of women. There are some. I have this sweet lady. One of them come up to me. She said, I just got my degree for evangelism. And she hugged my neck. And she's a sweet lady. Oh, she's very sweet. And I didn't hear her. And I said, you've done what? No, I said, well, I don't know if I could say that, but congratulations. I didn't know what else to say. But I wasn't congratulating on that because I know that wasn't real. But she was happy about it. So I led you to that. But she's sweet as she can be and good person. But God just doesn't call. They're out of place. It's like taking your ear and sticking it on your nose. You look mighty odd, and everybody else's nose is on the front of the face, and yours on the side. Ears for hearing, and nose for breathing. You stick it out here, you're gonna be stopped up in two ways. You're not be able to neither smell nor hear. So he put it in the proper place, in the right place. God has a due order. Here's the due order right here. It's in 1 Timothy. Read it for yourself. It's in Titus. He told Timothy, he said, this is what God has ordained. This is how the church ought to be conducted. Read it for yourself. And that's an order, a due order. God always has a due order. Like he had when David had great intentions. Somebody said, let's get a brand new cart. Boy, let's decorate this cart. Let's put the Ark of the Covenant on this cart, and we'll bring it into Jerusalem for that tent you built for God to place it there, that we get the temple built. He'd already purchased an ark to build the temple. And he said, that sounds good to me. Do it. And let's go with it. So they started little ways, and they had two men, two priests, Levites, a priest going along with it, driving it, and he shook the place, and one stuck his hand to it, and God killed him. And he died. And of course, that David was afraid of God on that time. And he was thinking right then, he didn't do that to the due order. See, the due order was, God had ordained for the priest, that is, the sons of Aaron, the priest, not all Levites, but the priesthood, Aaron's son, would put that golden staff through the golden ark of the covenant with the covenant inside that, put it up on their shoulder, and carry that. And there were people to separate themselves from the ark of the covenant of God. But they didn't do that to the due order. So God smote them, and the ghost, this one died over that. God didn't want that to be, but they didn't carry out the due order. So we have a due order, a right order, I mean a due order. He said in due time and the right time. That's what he meant when, of course, God sent forth the Son of the world in due time in the right season. So we know this study over this. This was a real good little book. A lot to be learned. God gave us some understanding as he added quite a bit to it. Those things I spoke of, he brought to my mind as I'm up here. as I try doing all my teaching or preaching, anything that I have to do, I try to rely on the Lord. I'm not capable, don't ever want to be capable. I want my capability to be, of course, of the Lord. If it ain't the Lord, I'm going to keep shutting my mouth and sit down. I don't want to be beaten there and like Paul said, but beaten there like a shadow boxer, just out there practicing. And a lot of folks, somebody said, I practice to preach. Well, that's a bunch of stupidity. Practice to preach. Can you imagine that? I'm not practicing to do nothing. I'm going to try to do better than the thing that I do, but I'm going to leave the preaching to the Lord. I don't have to try to practice. If he don't give it, there won't be nothing to it. So I'm preaching when God gives me utterance and teaching as well. Anybody got anything on your heart you want to say, share. If you do, feel free, anything special. Anything you want to share, be at liberty.